This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here. I'm here. You're here. We're having a great time. Hopefully, you're staying dry. Rob, you think they're going to play tonight? You think they're going to be able to get nine innings in, or you think the game's going to get washed away?
You know, I don't know. I have the news on back here for weather because it's just on, and they're showing 80% chance at five, but that chance wanes as the night goes on. So, I don't know. I'm not a weatherman, but we'll keep an eye on it. I would say they wash it out, but the Royals have tried some stuff before.
So we'll see what happens today. 913-586-7965. We'll continue to talk about the Kansas City Royals, who yesterday just, it is one of the most bizarre wins that the Royals have had in quite some time. And really no fault of their own, just the Chicago White Sox. I don't know, being the Chicago White Sox.
The 1-0 pitch. High fly ball, center field. It's going to end the game, whether he catches it or not. He doesn't. It just drops, and the Royals win it. What a way to end the game.
All right, let's get back to the NFL. Now, I'm certainly not telling anybody how to program their show. Certainly not Colin Cowherd, who might be the best at doing this job of anybody. But I think it's a little bit too early to be doing playoff predictions, and we don't even know the schedule yet. Can I at least know the order of the games? I feel like that's a pretty important part of why I pick a team to make the postseason versus not picking them to make the postseason. So I'm not ready to give my playoff prediction yet. I certainly feel a way about a team, but I think we're a little bit premature in locking in who we think is going to make the postseason. It's May. We got a long time until they start playing games. In fact, we got 4 months until they start playing football. I can hold off on giving you guys my playoff predictions, but Colin Cowherd, he certainly can host the way that he wants to host, and he's been pretty successful doing it. He went on his show and gave you his AFC playoff predictions. I noticed something here. We'll play it.
Let's start with the AFC. I would bet my car on this one. Bills win it. Dominant quarterback, not close and well coached. I'm predicting the Patriots will be the most improved team. Drake May actually has a coach. Next up, the AFC North. Even if Aaron Rodgers shows up, they're not beating the Ravens or Bengals. AFC South, I'm going to make a change. I think the Texans win it going away, and the Titans are a wild card team. And in the AFC West, I feel the same way. It's inches, not feet. I think the Chargers embodied, empowered their run game, and they're going to be a ball control offense. It'll be classic Jim Harbaugh in year two. So my AFC playoff predictions: Bills, Ravens, Texans, Chargers, Patriots, Bengals, or new and Chiefs.
On one side, I kind of feel a way because I also feel that same way about the New England Patriots. Like, I kind of think the Patriots are going to surprise some people. Now, I don't feel that way about the Titans, but if you're asking me right now, I think I would pick the Patriots to make the postseason. I do like the improvements that they've made with their roster. I think there's a chance that the Patriots are actually kind of decent this year. That's neither here nor there. The Chargers? Now, I know. Everybody doesn't have to pick the same team. And I do think that after watching the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl the way that they did, more and more people are going to think that, hey, that was them coming back to the rest of the pack. But the Chargers had the kind of offseason that would make you pick them to win the division because they added Najee Harris and Omari and Hampton. Now, I know that I've been banging the running back drum for the Kansas City Chiefs, but Najee Harris is the most average running back in the entire National Football League. Yes, I know Najee Harris has run for 1,000 yards, and I know that's the most important stat. I mean, he ain't been that good doing it. You guys should know by now I'm really big, really, really big on yards per carry. It matters. How effective are you? How efficient are you with the opportunities that you are given? His career average for yards per carry is 3.9. It's 3.9. He's not that good. The only reason Najee Harris has run for 1,000 yards is because he has been on teams that have been dedicated to giving him the ball. He got 263 carries last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a lot for a very average running back. His rookie year, he got 307 carries. 307 last year. He's average. Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris are not the reason that they're making the postseason. They're not. Maybe I'm underestimating Omari Hampton. Maybe I'm underestimating Jim Harbaugh. But I just feel like we do this thing with the Chargers every single year. And yes, I know what you're thinking. I am guilty of this. Last year, who did they beat? We could go through their wins from last year. You know who they were? They were the Super Broncos last year. That's who the Chargers were. We can go through their last five wins. Vegas, New England, Denver, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Cleveland. These are the teams you beat last year? Yeah, you won 11 games. Who did you do it against? And then when you had the opportunity to potentially prove us wrong on the road against a playoff team, you got the brakes beat off you by the Houston Texans. Houston? They beat you 32-12. You were never in the game. Herbert, who was so great at decision-making and not turning the ball over. It was an interception-palooza in the championship game. No. There are always surprises every single year. There will be a team that ends up winning the division that comes out of nowhere. There will be a team that was really bad this past year that surprises us and makes the postseason. No question about that. I don't know if the Chargers improved nearly enough this offseason and last year. They just didn't show me nearly enough that would make me think that they're now ready to be what I think you need to be better than Kansas City. If you're planning on beating Kansas City in the division, you better be a 13 or 14 win team. And I just don't think that's what the Chargers are. It's ridiculous to me at this point to pick the Chargers to win their division.
I think it is absolute lunacy. Now listen, this might be met as a hot take, and that's fine. If you are going to do the exercise, and on May 7th, you're going to do division projections, I don't think it's crazy to pick someone other than the Chiefs. I don't think I would do it that way. I would pick the Chiefs from the AFC West. It's been basically a birthright for the last, 10 years? But I don't think it's outlandish to pick someone else. I think it's outlandish to pick L.A. Denver, I think, is going to be the biggest of the Chiefs this year in the AFC West. They had a really good offseason, and they have a coach that's won a Super Bowl, and they have what appears to be the makings of a good quarterback. And I know the game didn't count in a lot of Chiefs fans' mind. Chiefs fans will say they were 15-1 and game didn't count, but they were 15-2, and the Broncos were one of the two. Like, yes, they feasted on a soft schedule, but I think the Broncos are the team that can take the step forward. And if it's December 7th, we're talking about a division race, I don't think it's, the Chargers are in it. I think talking about the Broncos, because they might have the best defense in the AFC. I don't mind if a Cowherd or a Nick or a Kevin Wilds or pick a person on Cinco de Mayo is telling me that another team could win the AFC West. That's okay, whatever. I think it's foolish to say it's the Chargers. They've done nothing to have me scared as a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the Broncos and their improvements. I don't think they've made nearly enough improvements to think that they've closed the gap that much between them and Kansas City, but they certainly gave Kansas City all they could handle last year in the one game that Kansas City actually tried against them. Sean Merriman, he is on his once a year. I am not picking the Chiefs to win the division. Here he is.
If we take a look at the odds for the AFC West, FanDuel has them at plus 330 behind the Chiefs. They were 0-2 against the Chiefs last year. Do you think that the additions that they've made, and now it's Jim's second year, is that enough to close that gap?
100%. I'm not just saying it because, you know, I'm a Charger and all. I truthfully believe they're going to win the division this year. I really feel that way.
Let's go. Nothing taken,
don't want to take anything away from, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that team. That Travis Kelce, as long as he's back, they always got a great team. They got a hell of a coach and Andy Reid. But truthfully, where the Chargers at and the jump that they made, remember before the season started last year, nobody saw the Chargers even being a playoff team. That was the exact same team almost that, minus the Keenan Allen and some of these other guys, that Jim Harbaugh took over. Nobody saw them going to the playoffs. So if he's able to do that in 1 year's time, what are they going to be looking like this year with a full year under their belt? New guys, the coaching staff, everybody understands the system now. So if you don't think that they're not going to win a division, you know, it's crazy not to say that I think they're the best team in the AFC West right now.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, don't kid yourself. You'll be picking them also. I will not. There are some things I am free of. I have freed myself from Justin Herbert. I freed myself. It was fair at one point in time to call me Chargers Dot, and I get it. It's a joke. I'll happily be Chargers Dot for you if that's what you need me to be. But I want it on the record here that I have denounced Justin Herbert. I don't want anything to do with them. He has fooled me way too many times. I actually don't think that Herbert gets nearly enough criticism for how bad he's been in the games that really matter. We get on Josh Allen for not coming through for his team. We get on Lamar for not coming through with this team. I mean, Justin Herbert has played two postseason games. He is completing 52% of his passes in those games. He has four interceptions in those games. Four. He's been terrible in those games, especially when you look at it in the regular season. In the regular season, he's really, really good in the regular season. He threw three interceptions last year in the regular season and threw four in one postseason game. So he is James Harden until proven otherwise. Yes, I'm sure the Chargers will win 9 to 11 games. They'll be in the wild card mix, and somebody will talk themselves into them. I am here to tell you right now, as a drive decree, it will not be me. It will not be me. I am not picking the Chargers to do anything this year. In fact, I want the Chargers to stay far away from me as possible this upcoming season. I'm moving on. I'm going to find a new team this year, but I will not pick them in any capacity. I want absolutely nothing to do with them. Coming up on the other side, Rob, I have to ask you a question. I actually don't think I've ever asked you this question before. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Men, is good enough really what you want with your sex life?
I have just a hodgepodge of thoughts that are in my head, and we will work through them over the next 20 minutes or so. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob, the first thought I would like to get your opinion on is there was a local restaurant that came up on my TikTok feed. It was in Lawrence. I don't know how I got into Lawrence TikTok. I don't go there nearly enough to be given food recommendations, but it was a place. It was called Concept 23. Maybe you guys have heard of it. And they have something called a sushi pizza. Is this a place that you've heard of before? Is a sushi pizza something that you were interested in trying?
I have never heard of Concept 23 before, ever in my life. Now, when I go to Lawrence, I may stick to what I know. I like to go to the places I've been to before. I kind of have my spots I like to go to. I don't know that Concept 23 is one that I've ever hit before. So I'm looking this up.
It is on 23rd Street.
Yeah, that's not really where I venture out now. I mean,
yeah, I'm not very adventurous when I go to Lawrence. All the places that I go eat are usually on the same street. Now, I am open to going to other places that are not there whenever I'm there, but I never heard of this place until now. I did see the young lady eating it. It did look pretty good, and she had some juicy pizza, and it looked like something I would consider trying.
You would consider trying this?
I would consider trying it. I like sushi and I like pizza. I'm open.
You lack adventure in your eating, and yet you would try a sushi pizza? This feels like one I would pass on. I don't dislike sushi. I don't dislike pizza. It feels like the combination just doesn't work in unison.
I don't know. I just was here. I'm offering this up. You're the Lawrence guy. You spent a lot of time, a lot of nights in Lawrence, Kansas. I guess I've spent a decent share, not nearly as much as you. I just didn't know if you had heard of this place, Concept 23, or you were interested in the sushi pizza. So I want to throw that out there. The next time you're in Lawrence, go stop by this place. Why don't you eat it and then report back and then let us know if it's good or not.
It was on your TikTok. You go to Lawrence.
I don't have any plans on going there anytime
soon. Aren't you going to the home opener this year for Kansas football because you want to see the stadium?
Yeah, it's in August.
Yeah, you go get your sushi pizza that day. I got to stick to the home run swing that day.
You're right. I will be in Lawrence in August. I will watch them because I got to have my eye on them. I got to have my scouting report because I got to watch them in the season opener just so I can watch them get smoked by Missouri 10 days later. So, yes, I will be there for the first game at your new stadium, or what are you calling it? Whatever stadium.
The booth. It's the booth.
Okay. I didn't know if you could, like, this is a new stadium or this is a, I didn't know all the terms that you guys have for this thing. I actually don't like the lights and the way that it looks, but you know what? It's not my stadium. I stay away from that kind of conversation.
Well, in a weird twist of fate, me and you are going to be in the same stadium, the same game, two of the first 3 weeks of the season. What a wild ride.
You know what? Why don't I offer you up some Columbia food suggestions?
I need that.
And why don't we go get something to eat while you're there? You know what? I'm sure it'll be a great time for me. I'm not necessarily sure if it'll be a great time for you while you're there, but you know what? We can have fun nonetheless. That is question number one that I wanted to ask you. Question number two is, I don't think I've ever asked you this question before. I believe that you and I agree on who the best quarterback is in the AFC. It is Patrick Mahomes. If I was making my power ranking, I would put Patrick Mahomes at number one. Who do you think is the worst starting quarterback in the AFC? And I guess my 2B question with this is that as unanimous as who the best quarterback is? Because I don't think at this point there really is a debate on who you think the best quarterback is. And that's no disrespect to Josh Allen, no disrespect to Lamar Jackson, just the other guy's just better than you are. And sometimes that's how sports work. So I am willing to put that conversation in a box and not touch it anymore. I know who the best quarterback is for now and the foreseeable future. How about on the other end? Who is the worst starting quarterback in the AFC? Who is that person?
I think as we currently sit, it is May 7th. I think the answer is obvious. I think the answer gets less obvious if we have one massive domino fall between now and training camp week one. Because I think right now it is undeniably Mason Rudolph. The Steelers starting quarterback is Mason Rudolph. If for some reason Roger Goodell, fresh off announcing where the draft will be in 2027, decided, you know what? Mother's Day feels like a good day for week one to happen. The Steelers would have Mason Rudolph throwing the football to DK Metcalf. And as bad as the Colts are, and as just as Geno Smith is, and as much as the jury is extremely out of what Cam Ward is, and the Browns not really having a quarterback, I think Mason Rudolph is the worst, because I look at the other teams in comparison. Anthony Richardson, despite the fact he takes himself out of games, was a near playoff quarterback once in his NFL career. Daniel Jones was a playoff quarterback once in his NFL career. Banana land, but it happened. Kenny Pickett quite literally beat Mason Rudolph out for the starting job, which I guess he's the leader in the clubhouse in Cleveland. Then you got Cam Ward, unknown. I believe he's better because the pedigree is better than Mason Rudolph. I'm just naming the ones that are in this ilk. Geno Smith, I know for a fact Geno Smith's better than Mason Rudolph. I'm pretty confident Drake May is better than Mason Rudolph. Like, as I look around the landscape of the AFC on May 7th at 4:24, the answer is Mason Rudolph. Now, that changes with one person coming out of the darkness and doing ayahuasca and telling me, let's go Steelers. That changes everything. But until that man does that, the answer is Mason Rudolph.
You know what? I don't think it's Mason Rudolph. I don't think he's the worst starting quarterback in the AFC. I don't know what the Browns' plan is, but you can't feel good about what their plan is. One of their plans is Kenny Pickett, who at no point has proven to me that he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. The other one is Joe Flacco, who is 147 years old. And then you have two mid-round picks at quarterback, one of which the league didn't really seem that fond of about 10 days ago. So I don't know who the Browns starter is going to be, but I think the Browns are certainly at the front of this conversation. I'm going to throw one out there that I didn't hear you say. Maybe you didn't. I missed it. Are we sure it's not whoever starts for the Colts? I mean, there are two options right now are Anthony Richardson, who has never shown that he is a good quarterback in this league. And then the other option is Daniel Jones. Now, I know that Daniel Jones has had a couple of decent seasons, and maybe he ends up proving it wrong. I mean, even the year they made the postseason, I mean, he wasn't that good. He threw 15 touchdown passes and had 5 interceptions. I mean, since then, in the 2 seasons since then, he has thrown 10 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions with a 74 quarterback rating. He has been bad. Like, genuinely bad the last 5 years of his NFL career. So I will throw another team out there. I actually think there is much more of an argument on who the worst quarterback in the league is or in the AFC than there is who the best quarterback. And again, that's no disrespect to those other guys. I'm not really here for your argument on why you think that Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not really here for your argument on why you think Josh Allen. I think we've seen it proven itself out too many times on the field to engage anybody that wants to have that conversation. You're right. There's about 4 or 5 teams that just, they are hopeless at the position this year. The Colts are hopeless this year at the position. And the Colts' best chance is to lose this year and then start the process over next season. The Browns are currently lost at quarterback. I think they know they're lost, but they're lost for this upcoming year at the position. The Jets are trying to figure it out. Like, if you told me you think that Justin Fields is in this conversation, I don't know if I would fight you that hard. There's about 5 teams that have a legitimate argument. We have the worst starting quarterback in the AFC.
And this is not some earth-shattering revelation by me, but you want to know why so many teams are just, hey, we got a bad one and we're going to grit our teeth and get through? Because in the AFC, the bottom of these divisions all has roughness. The Browns, they have 5 guys. The Colts, as you mentioned, have 2 guys, really no guy. The Jets, we didn't even mention Justin Fields. Justin Fields is not a great starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, Geno Smith is, you know, solid, but it's not like Geno Smith is, wow, can you believe how good Geno is? He's in that same meh kind of ilk. I'm going to put Cam Ward to the side because he's a rookie, but, you know, I mentioned Mason Rudolph. It's not like he's a gangbusters option. You know why I think so many of these teams are taking the, hey, stopgap veteran, we'll see what happens? It's because, A, this year's quarterback draft stunk. It was no good. There were, what, 2 taken in the first round? And the second one was at 21, 24, 25, somewhere in there. So that's reason number 1. And 2, Carrington, you're a college football fan the way I'm a college football fan. Next year's quarterback class is incredible.
People do like next year's class.
And by, it's more than just Arch Manning. And Arch Manning is obviously going to be the headline name because of his last name. But Nussmeier from LSU is really good. I know Nico Iamalava got a lot of grief this offseason for chasing the bag. He's actually a good NFL. He has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. There are a lot of more. I could name guy after guy after guy who right now is in college football. And you think, oh, he can be a viable starter somewhere in the NFL the ensuing season. Lenore Sellers at South Carolina, people rave about his ability. Like, there are a ton of really good NFL prospects in college football for the upcoming season. So I think if you're a team like the Jets or the Colts or the Browns or the Steelers, you just got to find a veteran and ride it out. And if that veteran takes you to 3-14, then you could be in the money in 2026. But being 3-14 headed into this season was no good for anyone.
I want to get back to the Royals here for just a little bit and talk about their top story. And the top story yesterday is, it's actually not about the Royals at all yesterday. And I'm not here to take away from the Royals winning yesterday, and they've at least split a series against the White Sox. They will likely win or potentially sweep this series against the White Sox. Nothing what I'm going to say is to take away from the Royals yesterday. It is to talk about how bad the Chicago White Sox is, and this is audio that I just can't get enough of. Denny Matthews has been calling baseball games since 1969. He said that yesterday's ninth inning was one of the five worst innings he has ever seen in his life. I want you to just take that in. That man watched the 2004 Royals. He watched the 05 Royals, the 06 Royals. I can keep going. Denny Matthews had a front row seat for all of this, and he thinks the White Sox, what he saw from them, is worse than some of those Royals teams. It is incredible to me.
Lead at first, in comes the pitch. Jammed him in a high pop-up on the infield, and it's off the glove of the second baseman. They're going to throw the ball to second widely. They had a force play there. And here you go. The White Sox are on the verge of perfect this game. It's the old story, folks. He squares to body, gets it down. How are they going to mess this one up? No throw. Boozer picked it up, had no play. And the bases are loaded. And the White Sox are on the verge of handing the Royals the game. So I started to say, it's a familiar refrain, same old story. Good teams figure out a way to win in the late innings. Bad teams figure out a way to lose in the late innings. And boy, if we haven't seen a perfect example of that right here in front of us in the last 5 minutes, then you need another videotape, because this is just a perfect example. Jake, you said it off air. You said that might be the worst ninth inning of any major league game I have ever seen. And I've seen a few, and it would probably make my top five. That was,
it's up there.
It was embarrassing.
Again, you have to factor in how long Denny has been calling baseball games. And I've talked to Denny Matthews enough. You've heard him on this show enough. Denny is not somebody that speaks in hyperbole. What we watched yesterday was one of the greatest collapses that we have ever seen at Kauffman Stadium. It was. The Royals had to execute it. Bobby Witt has to hit that ball to center field. You got to put the bunt down. Like, the Royals, I mean, they did some things to win yesterday for sure. Yesterday is about the White Sox, and they're tragic. I can't think of anything more draining than covering and watching a bad baseball team night after night after night. And that's what the White Sox are. They're terrible. I mean, Royals fans, you know the feeling. It's Cinco de Mayo. Your team's cooked. You're done. I mean, they've been done way before then. I mean, they were done like April 15th, tax day, they were eliminated. You still got 5 months of baseball to go. 4.5 months of baseball to go. You got to keep watching and following that team, what they did yesterday? Embarrassing. Couldn't field a bunt. Couldn't field a pop-up. Threw the ball over the second baseman's head. Couldn't field a bunt, couldn't get yourself in position, didn't catch the ball hit to your center fielder. Just a cavalcade of mistakes yesterday from them. Embarrassing work last night from the Chicago White Sox. We'll see if they're able to get the game in coming up later today. The Royals looking to win their third straight against the Chicago White Sox. If you go back to last season, they've been beating up on this team for quite some time. We gave you guys the stat yesterday. The White Sox have not beaten the Royals since April 17th of last year. The Royals have just pounded and pounded away at the Chicago White Sox, and they did it again yesterday. They did it again yesterday at Kauffman Stadium. Speaking of the Royals, earlier today we had Mark Canna on the show. Mark Canna, his Instagram handle is @BigLeagueFoodie, @BigLeagueFoodie. So if you want to give him a follow, go give him a follow. So I had to ask him a standard barbecue question. You consider yourself to be a foodie. What's your favorite? Where have you been to? Have you gotten to enough of the barbecue places since you've been in town? Here's what Mark Canna had to say.
Oh, you know what? I'm not well-versed on the barbecue yet. I haven't got out enough. I've been to Arthur Bryant's. I've been to Gates. Between those two, I don't know. I kind of thought they were very similar. This was actually the times I went to those, I was doing it as a visiting player. But I'll say Gates for now. I got a list of people have been, you know, sending me recommendations all the time, which I love. And so I got some work to do on the Kansas City barbecue scene.
All right. I have three barbecue thoughts based off what we just heard from Mark Canna. Now, I've only talked to Mark Canna one time in my life, so I'm not here to dispute him being a foodie. I was on his Instagram. He seems like a guy that enjoys some fine cuisine. He's eaten all over the world, places I've never been to before, tried meals I've never had before. I'd love to have him on and keep talking food with Mark Canna. If you consider yourself a foodie, you got to go to the Big Four. The Big Four, I think, at barbecue is pretty established. Now, I have more questions related to this, but I will not field any questions about who the Big Four are. It's Joe's, Jack Stack, Bryant, and Gates. Those are the four. If you are telling somebody who is from out of town and they've never been to Kansas City barbecue, you have to go to your foundation is these four. Rob, my first question to ask you is, have we gotten to the point in the same way that I was making the argument yesterday that the top four quarterbacks in the NFL is done? I will not listen to you. If you do not have Joe Burrow in your top, I'm not listening to you. If you don't have Josh Allen in your top five quarterbacks, there's not a conversation that you and I need to have about this subject. Now, I'm not saying these have to be your favorite five. That's different to me. But if we are talking long-standing tradition, popularity, history, culture, these are the undeniable four. Is Q39 number five?
It's a great
question. That's question one. Because again, I am not arguing these four. Oh, I don't care. If you were telling me you like another place more than these, sure, I do too. But I mean, Arthur Bryant has been there since what, 1912? Arthur Bryant is on this list. I'm not listening to your, oh, this is on 100. No.
No.
This is in the, it's on the Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. The conversation to me now starts at five. And it starts with, are you putting Q39 there at five? Because I would say out of the newer ones, and there certainly is like a new generation of barbecue restaurants, I would say the Q39 is clearly the most popular one out of the new generation.
I actually think to make the analogy of that you did with quarterbacks we talked about yesterday, I think Q39 is the Jalen Hurts. If you want to tell me because of the ring and because of Q39's popularity, it has risen to five, I will not fight you. But I think outside the Mount Rushmore, five through whatever, let's say five through 10, I think is a matter of preference more so than anything else. But if you have Q39 at five, because I think it is the most popular of that, you know, age group, whatever, I think it's at five. But if you told me, no, you're crazy, it's Harps, no, get out of here, it's Slap, I'm not going to fight you. I think because of its popularity or ring culture, it's probably five. But it's not sniffing the four.
Okay, I agree with you. Now, let me ask you this. Is this a question that is a little bit too America's? Because I think if you ask a lot of people, I think number five might be LC's.
LC's is incredible.
LC's is really good.
Really good.
Traditional. That's Kansas. If you want to show somebody what a Kansas City barbecue restaurant looks like, I'm sorry, it don't look like Q39. Mm-mm. It looks a lot like LC's. You go in there, you see the pit right then and there. It's a look. You go at LC's is phenomenal food. Close to the stadium, LC's would make a lot of sense. LC's has an argument. And my second point would be, in relation to what Mark Canna had to say on the show, is my other point would be, I think that we are a city where I think that everybody has their favorite of the Big Four. You guys know who I'm rocking with. Everybody has their favorite in the Big Four. What makes Kansas City barbecue so good is that next tier, whatever you have like right outside your top 10, would be the best barbecue restaurant in any other city in America. I know Texas, Austin, North Carolina, whatever. If you sat down and you made your top 10 list, whatever restaurant you have is number 11 would be the best restaurant there. That's what makes us so good. And everybody has their, out of that 5 through 10, everybody has their favorite in there. Like, I like Slaps. I like Slaps and Harps. You know, I'm Slaps and Harps individual. Phenomenal.
This is bad by me. I often forget about LCs because it's so close to stadium. I only kind of get it when I'm near the stadium. I've never been like a Tuesday night, like, you know what I'm going to do? Drive to LCs, because it's kind of out of my way. But you're right. What makes Kansas City the best is not that number one versus number one Kansas City wins, which I still think that happens. Like, if you put Franklin Barbecue in Austin up against whoever you want to pick at number one in Kansas City, I think Kansas City is better. But if it's 50-50, whatever, it's the depth. It's the, what's the old saying for teams that don't have a quarterback? We might not have number one, but players 2 through 53 were as good as anyone. That's Kansas City barbecue. 2 through 53, they are stronger than any other city in America.
This is actually a really good question. CDOT, I think that 5 through 10 is a much more interesting conversation through 1 through 4. I'm interested in making my 5 through 10 list. You got yours? I'll make my 5 through 10 list.
I can build it. I can build the list.
I don't have any problem making my 5 through 10 list. I'll throw mine on there. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. We stumbled across this conversation based off, we had Mark Canna on the show earlier today. Mark Canna, his Instagram handle is at Big League Foodie. He has only been to 2 barbecue restaurants in the city.
Oh, you know what? I'm not well versed on the barbecue yet. I haven't got out enough. I've been to Arthur Bryant's. I've been to Gates. Between those two, I don't know. I kind of thought they were very similar. This was actually the times I went to those, I was doing it as a visiting player. But I'll say Gates for now. I got a list of people have been, you know, sending me recommendations all the time, which I love. And so I got some work to do on the Kansas City barbecue scene.
All right. So this is the conversation that we stumbled upon, and we'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, this is more important than that. I think the top 4 is undeniable. I'm not willing to listen. Joe's has been around too long. Jack Stack, Arthur Bryant's, Gates. We're talking of institutions in this city. I'm not willing to debate their place with you. So I'm putting those 4 aside. That's the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City barbecue. I'm sorry, your place that just popped up 6 years ago, we're not going against a 70, 80 year tradition with some of these other places. I'm not willing to have that conversation. So someone on the text line says, I think that 5 through 10 is more interesting than 1 through 5. All right, cool. So since we started at 4, I am going to give you my 6, and I'm also going to give you my honorable mention.
You're not going to give 5? You mean 5, right?
I did 5 through 10. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. You said starting at 6. I'm like, why are we skipping 5?
No, I'm saying this. So 5 through 10, that's 6. Yeah. So this is what I have. Now, I don't want to put it in order because I don't want no smoke.
Don't be a coward.
I don't want no smoke. No, I'm not. I don't want no smoke.
I put mine in my order, you coward.
I don't want any smoke with anybody. None. All right, if you want me to do it in order, this is how I would do it. I would put LC's at 5. I would put Slaps at 6. I put Harps at 7. I put Q39 at 8. I'd put Buck Tooey at 9, and I put Scott's Kitchen at 10.
By the way, I'll give my list a minute. I'm so happy you have Buck Tooey on the list. I have Buck Tooey at 10. Buck Tooey's really good.
Harps and Buck Tooey are the most underrated barbecue restaurants in Kansas City.
Slept on.
Agreed, 100%. No, Buck Tooey's in my... I went to that late night little barbecue fest out at Arrowhead, and they had this like pork belly burnt in. It was some of the best food I've ever had. I don't know if they serve that regularly out at the place. I don't know. I've never been to the location. I've had like 3 or 4 times. I've never actually gone. Every time I've had it, it is amazing. So, yes, Buck Tooey is making my list. So that's how I would rank it. If I'm removing those other ones, LC's at 5, Slaps at 6, Harp's 7, Q39 8, Buck Tooey 9, Scott's Kitchen at 10, my just missing... By right outside the top 10, I have Big T's and I have Burn-In Barbecue. That's my top 12.
Okay, so here's what I got. I got Harps at 5. Harps. It's now out by me, too. Like, I can't speak highly enough about Harps.
Harps is fire.
Just incredible. 6 is Chef J. Chef J down the crossroads is incredible eats.
There were two places I haven't eaten at enough to put on the list. Chef J's and Jones. I just haven't eaten there enough.
That's fair.
I haven't eaten there enough to put them on the list. So maybe I got to put them as like, I just don't have enough information to rank them. But I can't put Chef J on my list. I haven't eaten there enough to put them on the list.
And Chef J's hours are a little bit difficult. And they may like, but Chef J, you know how I love the Crossroads area too. Great barbecue and a great area of town.
Which is crazy you love it so much given the fact that you chose to live as far away from the Crossroads as possible.
I couldn't have lived further away. I have Chef J right after Harps, Q39 at 7, Slaps at 8, LC's at 9, and then Buck Tui at 10. That you need to go to Chef J more often because they will find a way into your top 10. They will find a way into your top 5. Chef J is the only place I've been where I'm like, this is Harps level competitive.
Okay. What else you got?
Q39, Slaps, LC's, and Buck Tui. I feel like we know the restaurants in 5 through 10. It's just a matter of preference. I'm lower on LC's because I just don't go there as often. It's kind of off the beaten path for me. Slaps is really good. But again, kind of off the beaten path. Q39 solid, but not like wow. But yeah, Q39 at 7, and then like I said, Buck Tui at 10.
Let me ask you this. Is Q39 about the food or the experience?
Can it be both? The food is good and the experience is good too.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Do you know what place I think has...
Because to me, and this is my perception of Q39, part of it is it's kind of difficult to get into. There's always a line. The place is kind of small, so it creates that like supply and demand. So then when you finally go, it's like, oh man, I'm at Q39. Are you going to Q39 because you love the food, or it's just cool to say you ate at Q39?
I think it's both. I think the place you're describing that has the cool vibe and the barbecue is just okay. Char Bar.
I like Char Bar.
I think if Char Bar didn't have that little back patio area, no one would talk highly of Char Bar. People talk about Char Bar because you can get a beer and you can hang out in Westport and then go get barbecue.
That is part of the charm of the place.
It's the whole allure is it's a cool vibe. The actual barbecue itself. Would you ever be like, I want Char Bar to go? Of course not. No one would say that. That's how the way you feel about Q39 is how I feel about Char Bar. It's just cool vibes.
Text line 913-586-7965. I appreciate you guys going on this detour with us. If you want to let us know your maybe outside of the Mount Rushmore list, or you want to comment on who you think the honorable mention would be. Have you ever eaten at Big T's before?
I've never had Big T's.
Big T's is definitely a two America's barbecue place.
Have you ever had Meat Mitch before?
I have once.
Okay.
Not a lot. That also seems like a two America's place. Yeah, it's like a two America's place.
You're not wandering around 119th and Row to get barbecue.
You know what I just had recently? I just had Rosedale barbecue, maybe like the last 10 days or so. It actually wasn't that bad. I was like, you know, this is actually pretty good.
Rosedale's got good sides, too.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I had, like, one of those, like, big sandwiches. It was cool. No, I enjoyed my time at Rosedale Barbecue.
The problem with Rosedale for me is, like, if I'm in that area of town, I'm getting tacos. Like, it's too close to the taco trail for me to be like, oh, let me get barbecue. I feel the same way about, I've never been to, was it Danny Edwards? I've never been there.
I never heard of that place. Where's Danny Edwards at?
It's in that same area on the boulevard.
Okay, my bad. No, I'm not super familiar.
If I'm ever in that area, I'm getting tacos.
I know a Bob Edwards. I don't know a Danny Edwards. I never. What's he known for? What's his thing?
I don't know. I've never been there. I just see it down on the boulevard.
Okay, well, Danny Edwards, if you want to come on the show tomorrow, come on the show and we'll talk to you about your restaurant because I don't know anything about it. That's what we should do one day in the summer. We should just interview people that run barbecue restaurants. I just want to know more about them. I want to meet. Is this Meat Mitch? Is that a real person? It has to be named the person that for Meat Mitch. It has to be a Mitch, right?
I mean, I presume, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to talk to him.
I've never met Meat Mitch.
Somebody's saying that Meat Mitch and Char Bar, they're the same owners.
I also
so maybe you've already eaten there before because you've eaten at Char Bar.
I also didn't have Meat Mitch in my top 10, for the record.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm just asking. Throwing that out there. Let me know what you guys think. 913-586-7965. Special thanks to Mark Canna, who was on the show earlier today. He was very instrumental in the comeback yesterday. He got the walk that really got things going. He scored the tying run, and then they won in the ninth inning off a single from Bobby Witt Jr. We'll talk more about yesterday's game coming up on the other side. We'll see if they're going to have a game coming up later today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.